Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live. Open Forum means any question that you have about the Catholic faith. We would love the opportunity to answer that question. You don't have to be Catholic to call. Anyone's welcome to call. If you have a curiosity that you would like satisfied, or if you have a complaint that you would like addressed, or perhaps you have maybe a different view of things than you think Catholics do, we're happy to talk about all of those with you. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. Jimmy Akin is our guest this hour, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, and the author of A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing?
I am very well, very well. People have been very generous to us first 2 days of our pledge drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we've had a $20,000 match challenge both days.
Right.
And fortunately, we made it both days. Yesterday, first hour was kind of slow.
Right, right.
But then people came through for us once we mentioned, hey, the phones are slow, and they came through in the second hour. So we were able to make the challenge the previous 2 days. This is the final day. And we have a final challenge. And the final challenge is also another $20,000 that's been put up through the generosity of a couple of very, very generous donors.
And you always know more about it than me. So two donors have put this, have put up the money.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I don't know if I've just been paying attention.
I didn't say why you knew more about it than me. Often the information is available to me, Jimmy. That doesn't mean that I have availed myself of the knowledge.
Well, it's the last day we get to talk about fundraising on the air this year, so we need your help. What we're doing here is, you know, the Lord's work. We're communicating God's word. We're broadcasting it literally far and wide all over the planet. People are listening to us. We were talking in our pre-show that's available for people to watch on the internet when we're streaming live before the show begins. We were talking about how people from all over the world watch us and contact us. So your donation dollars aren't just helping in your local area. They're helping people all over the planet. Yesterday, when I was on the phones taking people's donations, I had people who were telling me, you know, that Catholic Answers had played a huge role in their conversion, in their becoming Catholic, their coming to God. So your donations that enable this program to go out are highly effective. They benefit you. They benefit your friends and loved ones. They benefit people you don't even know and won't even know until you get to heaven. And then you find out, as we all will, just what all of the cascading consequences of our generosity and our acts of love for others were. So by all means, this is your chance to share the gospel with people and to start that cascade of love that will bear eternal results. And the way that you can do that, the way you can help Catholic Answers Live keep going, is by calling 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000, or you can go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Even if you're, say, one of those people outside of North America who's listening to us, wherever you are, you can make your donation safely and securely online. And it's important that you do so now, because this is the last time of this year that we'll be able to talk about it. And we need to match that $20,000 challenge we have today, because if we don't get $20,000 from the listeners, we won't get that full $20,000 from the donors who have put it up.
888-291-8000 is the number to donate. 888-291-8000. We're very grateful that we have thousands of viewers via Facebook, YouTube, Periscope now. Many more that we don't know even know how to count them on via the television program. Hundreds of stations listen to this, make this show available to listeners across the country and around the world. And all of that is made made possible because somebody like you picked up the phone and called, or many people like you picked up the phone and called 888-291-8000, or they went to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and made their donation. It's one of those things, Jimmy, we haven't mentioned this yet during this pledge drive, but we know that we have a certain number of radio stations. It's around 400. It's above 400 now, but I don't know exactly where. And we know that we have, per radio station, an average of 12 people per radio station are supporting us financially.
Right.
So if you're listening, wherever you're listening, let's say Fort Wayne, Indiana, then I don't know how many are supporting us in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but you can say on average a station like yours, 12 people. How many hundreds are listening? How many thousands are listening? And 12 people are supporting Catholic Answers. Well,
it's a lot like, in a way, Jesus's parable, or not the parable, but the story of the 10 lepers. Because there were, as you know, in the gospel, there are these 10 lepers that encounter Jesus, and he heals them all. And only one of them comes back to say thank you. They all benefited, but only one of them responded in a way that resulted in them coming back and thanking Jesus for what he did. And it's similar, everyone who listens to the show benefits from it, but only a small number actually are, decide that they'll actually support it and help it continue, which is a way of saying thank you and recognizing the value of the benefit that they receive from the show. Well, Jesus complimented the one leper who came back, who actually happened to be a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. But he nevertheless recognized the value of what he had been given by Jesus and wanted to come back and pay tribute to it. So that principle applies to giving as well. One of the things that St. Paul says in his letters is that the one who has been taught the word of the Lord should share all good things with the one who teaches him. And he means it economically because, as he also says, quoting Jesus and, in fact, quoting the Gospel of Luke, he cites the passage, the worker is worth his wages. And here it's not just a question of workers. It's also the technical apparatus we have that we need to be able to get the show out to people.
Right.
All of the lights, the internet connection, the computers, the phone lines, everything that we do. To be able to get the show out to people, we need your generosity to make that possible. So like the Samaritan who recognized the value of what Jesus had done for him and came back to pay tribute to that, the people who St. Paul told, if you've been taught the word of God, you should share with the one who taught it to you. If you've benefited spiritually from the show, you want to be like the leper who responded to Jesus. You wanted to be like you want to be like the people who responded to St. Paul. Please support Catholic Answers Live and help it go forward. This is the last day we're going to be talking about this for the rest of the year. We try to keep our fundraising to a minimum. We have now less than 2 hours to talk about it, and we're going to be taking questions in just a moment. So by all means, while you're thinking about it, give us a call. The number is 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000. You can also go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. And if you're driving and you're not able to pull over or whatever, by all means, give us a call anyway, and we can call you back and take your credit card information once you're not driving anymore. But that's something we're more than happy to do. But it's important to make contact now while you're thinking about it, because it's human nature to forget and let it fall through the cracks. So if it's on your heart right now to respond to this message and to help the spiritual work of Catholic Answers continue, give us a call now, 888-291-8000.
We go now to Jason driving in Illinois, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Your question, Jason, for Jimmy Akin.
Hi, guys. I was in Mass, so it's been a while ago now, and during the homily, the priest had mentioned traditionally Jesus' age at death was thought to be somewhere around 33, and then he, in passing, kind of said, but more likely around 40, and he didn't go into any detail on that, and I wondered if you had any insight. I had never heard that before.
Yeah, so So this is a view that some people have entertained today. It's not a matter of faith, one way or another, exactly what Jesus' age at the time of his crucifixion was. That's something people can have different opinions about. Actually, the earliest record we have of someone entertaining an opinion like this is in the late 2nd century church father Irenaeus of Lyon. He thought – he had an interesting theory about the atonement. He thought that in order to atone for all people, Jesus needed to recapitulate every age of life. So he needed to pass through infancy to redeem infants. He needed to pass through adolescence to redeem adolescence, and all the way through to old age in order to be able to redeem old people. So he saw Jesus' length of life, at least in approximate terms, as an aspect of the redemption. And so he kind of twigged on a line in John's gospel where some of Jesus' critics say, hey, you're not even 50. And he says, okay, therefore Jesus lived to about 50 or so before he was crucified. Unfortunately, that's not supported by the rest of the evidence we have. All the critics say in John's gospel is that Jesus is not yet 50.
Right.
He hasn't yet reached that level of maturity. We don't know exactly how old he was. Luke, however, tells us that he's around 30 when he begins his ministry. So Luke's very firm on that. That's in Luke chapter 3. Jesus was around 30. Now, you might say, okay, well, that could be plus or minus 5 years.
Okay.
Hypothetically, it could be. But if you look at the degree of precision that Luke uses for ages, like when he mentions that Jairus' daughter is 12,
mm-hmm.
exactly. He doesn't say 10 or no. around 10. He says 12. And when you look at the way Luke uses numbers, it's more likely it's 30 plus or minus 1 year.
Yeah,
not
he didn't know when
plus
his birthday
or minus
was,
five.
Maybe, but
correct.
But, yeah.
So Luke also gives us a clue about when Jesus was born, because he tells us that the ministry of John the Baptist, which began just before Jesus began his own ministry, that John the Baptist's ministry began in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. And that corresponds to like AD 28. And if Jesus was around 30 in AD 28, then he would have been born around 2 or 3 BC, which is, guess what, exactly when the overwhelming majority of the church fathers say he was born. They say he was born in the 42nd year of Augustus, which was 2 or 3 BC. And so if you then start with 2 or 3 BC and you go up to the beginning of his ministry in AD 28 and he's about 30, and then you count forward based on John's gospel, the three Passovers, and go find the next year after three Passovers that has a Passover on a Friday when Jesus was crucified, you find out it would have been AD 33. And that's the reason that Jesus is traditionally thought to have been 35 years old, something like that, not 40. The 40 thing comes because some modern scholars have favored a theory that says Herod the Great, because Jesus was born in the reign of Herod the Great, they've said that that Herod the Great died in 4 BC. So if Jesus was born a couple years before that, since he was as much as 2 years old when the wise men showed up, that if Herod died in 4 BC, that means Jesus' birth would have been around 6 or 7 BC. And if he then dies in AD 33, he's around 40. Problem is, the theory that Herod the Great died in 4 BC is not well-grounded. It's been challenged by better recent scholarship, and it looks like the traditional date of his death in 1 BC is when Herod the Great actually died, and that the church fathers were right all along that Jesus was born in 2 or 3 BC, and that consequently he was around 33, 34, or something like that when he died.
Jason, thank you very, very much for that call. It is Open Forum today on Catholic Answers Live, taking questions on any aspect of Catholic life or faith with Jimmy Akin, our senior apologist here at Catholic Answers. Let's go to Angel in Anaheim, California, watching on Facebook. Thanks for joining us on Facebook, Angel. Thanks to everybody who joins us on Facebook. And Angel, before I send you to Jimmy, let me just say the number again for folks in order to make their donation if they would like to support Catholic Answers while we have a $20,000 dollar-for-dollar match today, and this is the last day that we will come to you this year, in the year 2017, to ask you for your financial support. 888-291-8000 is the number, 888-291-8000, or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Angel, thanks for waiting. Your question for Jimmy.
Yes, the question I have for Jimmy is, I noticed that there's different versions or different translations of Bibles. For example, I have in front of me a New American Bible, then I have the New Jerusalem Bible. They both say they're Catholic, mm-hmm. and I also know that our Protestant brothers have different translation or versions. Why is there so many different versions, translations, and also which is the best version or translation that we could use to study a Bible or to actually get more accurate information of in a Bible?
Okay. I would – so the reason there are a lot of different translations is because there's not a single way to translate something. There are choices that translators have to make when they bring something from one language into another. Just yesterday, I was talking with one of the other apologists here at Catholic Answers, and we were talking about an aspect of Greek grammar. In Greek, like in English, they have verbs that can be in the active voice, where the subject of the sentence performs the action in the sentence, like in Peter hit Paul. Well, hit is an active voice verb. But then also in Greek, just like in English, they have the passive voice where the subject of the sentence receives the action. So if I said Paul was hit by Peter, Paul is the subject of the sentence, but he's receiving the action. So it's a passive voice verb, was hit, rather than hit. And so that those aspects of Greek grammar correspond to English. But Greek also has this thing called the middle voice, which shares some aspects of the active voice, but it isn't exactly the active voice. And it can be really hard to translate into English because we don't have anything that directly corresponds to it. And it's our grammar isn't set up to receive middle voice constructions. And so translators have to make choices with what do you do with this? And different translators come to different conclusions. And it's not just when it comes to unusual grammatical constructions. Also, words can mean different things. I mean, even in English, you see words like kitty. A kitty can either be a small cat or it can be what you use to start a pool on a poker of chips on a poker table. And those are two very different meanings. Well, the same thing happens in every language. Words have more than one meaning. And when you're translating from one language to another, you have to make choices about how am I going to render this? Because even though a lot of the times the words have fairly good equivalents, they don't always. And sometimes you have to make a choice, and what choice is not always obvious. Then there's the fact that if you translate in a really word-for-word way, you're going to end up with something that's almost unintelligible. And this is real clear when you look at Greek and start just translating it word by word. For example, one of the things they do in Greek is they throw the equivalent of the word the definite article, they throw that in front of proper names like crazy. So you'll have sentences that just have very strange sounding utterances if you just translate them word for word from Greek, like the Jesus said to the Peter, come to me and whatever. And you get really weird constructions. And so translators need to find ways to smooth that out for their readers. And there's always a question of how far do you go in smoothing things like this out? You could try to retain as much of the word for word as you could while still making it good English style, or you could go further and say, no, let's not worry so much about translating in a word for word fashion. Let's try to translate in a concept for concept fashion. So we're really not going to worry about the exact wording of this and what it was in the original. We're going to make sure that we bring across the concept clearly, or what we think as a group of translators is the concept. So there's lots of choices that translators have to make, and they make different ones. And that's why there are different Bible translations. In terms of which is best, there's no single best. Now, you helpfully, Angel, asked if you want to, like, do Bible study, you want something that preserves a lot of accuracy. The good news is most of the professionally published Bible translations today are actually quite good. They have flaws. Some of them show a little bit of translator bias, theologically speaking. But unless you're using something like the Jehovah's Witnesses New World Translation, which is terrible, most of the published translations today, especially by reputable publishing houses, are quite good. And in Catholic circles, it's required, if you're going to publish a scripture translation, that you get an imprimatur on it from your conference of bishops. And so there's a special extra layer of review to make sure Catholic translations meet certain basic standards. One of the translations that I recommend a lot and that I use as kind of a default translation is the Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition. It is a fairly literal translation, and it preserves more of the word-for-word aspects of things, not entirely, but more of them, and it is in a decent contemporary English for the most part, so it's relatively easily understandable. The only exceptions to that are when someone's talking to God, they keep the old pronouns and say thee and thy when you're talking to God.
Oh.
But otherwise, it's in contemporary English. And so that's what I recommend for if you're doing apologetics. If you're just wanting to read the Bible and just get exposure to it, then you could read a much more dynamic one that doesn't try to preserve the words. They're all going to be decent. The New American Bible, the New Jerusalem Bible, those are fine. But I wouldn't bet the farm on the exact way things are phrased in those. If you find a verse and you go, that sounds odd, well, then you want to check it with a more literal translation or with Bible commentaries to find out what the Greek says. And because when you do have those really dynamic translations, you are taking more of a risk of there may be some distortion in the translation process. But even the dynamic ones that are professional and have an imprimatur are good quality translations.
Thanks, Angel. Thanks very much. It is our last day of our pledge drive here at Catholic Answers. 888-291-8000 is the number.
First off, God bless you guys, and I'm an engaged young man, but I'm going to go ahead and double my pledge of what I did earlier because Catholic Answers has deepened my faith. It solidified me in my Catholicism. I'm a cradle Catholic, but God bless you, and I'm going to go ahead and double that.
That's a call we got from Dean. Dean, that hits it right on the head, and we're very grateful for that. I mean, our mission is to explain and defend the Catholic faith, and to do so in a way that makes it possible for the modern hearer to hear the Catholic faith. We have the particularities of our time and of our culture, and so it needs to be expressed in a way that people can hear it and accept it. We feel very strongly that doing that via the radio, via the television, via what's available to us on the internet are exactly what the Lord is calling us to do at this time, not just ourselves here at Catholic Answers, but as a whole, as a Christian community, as a Catholic community. And in order to answer that call, we need your support, 888-291-8000.
And there are people who are calling in. We have people like Chris in Westfield, New Jersey, who's made a $500 donation. Sean in Lacona, Iowa, made a $200 donation. Woos in Lawton, Oklahoma, $500 donation. John in Washington, $500 donation. Jesus in Dallas made a $1,000 donation. That's awesome. We need several donations like that if we're going to make our $20,000 goal today. Joe in Park Forest, Illinois is donating $18 a month. That is awesome. David in McDonald, Ohio made a one-time gift of $100 in memory of Mary Wainer. So obviously someone very special. Carmen in Leicester, New York, $25 one-time gift. Elaine in Gahanna, Ohio, $10 one-time gift. All of these gifts, large or small, are very much appreciated. They go to helping us spread God's word to people, and it's a spiritual work. You are doing a spiritual act when you support Catholic Answers Live and all of the work of Catholic Answers. We profoundly thank you for it. The number to call to help us make that $20,000 matching challenge today is 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000. We have people standing by. In fact, we have basically everyone in the building who's not working right now on the radio show is standing by their phone to take your order right now. And we're going into a break, so this is a great time to call that number, 888-291-8000. You won't miss anything, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
888-291-8000. Please help us use up every dollar of that $20,000 dollar-for-dollar match right now on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live would like to take this opportunity to thank our partners in airing our daily program. Please support the stations and networks that carry us each day, ensuring that we have a platform for broadcasting the show. And please bear in mind that while we do not have to pay for airtime on our affiliate stations, neither do they contribute to the operating costs we incur. It's a great relationship, but it requires that we turn to you, our devoted listeners, for your prayers and financial support to cover our ever-growing expenses. Please call 888-291-8000 right now and help to keep Catholic Answers Live strong. That's 888-291-8000. Or you can donate securely online at CatholicAnswersRadio.com. What began as a humble one-hour daily show that was carried by four radio stations has, with the generosity of many fantastic people like you, blossomed into a two-hour broadcast heard on hundreds of AM and FM stations, the Internet, Sirius XM Radio, Facebook, YouTube, and via podcast. We don't make that possible. You do. We simply cannot continue this media mission without your most generous gift today. Call 888-291-8000 or log on to CatholicAnswersRadio.com and donate now. People tell us all the time how much they depend on Catholic Answers Live to help them better learn, live, and share their faith. What they're really saying is they depend on you for that. Will you come through for them right now? It only takes a couple of minutes to make a huge difference at 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Again, 888-291-8000 or CatholicAnswersRadio.com. No matter how much you give, be assured of our gratitude and know that God will richly bless you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. It's important that you take this important step right now, today, to make sure that Catholic Answers Live is here tomorrow and for years to come. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live Open Forum. Jimmy Akin, Senior Apologist here at Catholic Answers, is our guest this hour. Actually, for both hours today, I am Cy Kellett, your host, and Open Forum means anybody can call and ask whatever question they've got about the Catholic faith. If you're Buddhist and you want to know what we mean by sacraments, or if you've been raised a Hindu and you want to know what we why we have holy water, or if you're a nun, we got a lot of those. I mean, nun, N-O-N-E, which is a growing group.
Yeah, I know. And I was in a meeting the other day where people were talking about nuns, and it took me a second to realize they're not talking N-O-N-E.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is an unfortunate term, because there is such a thing as a nun, an N-U-N.
N-U-N, yeah.
And if you're a nun, N-U-N, and you've got a question about the Catholic faith, please give us a call,
888-291-8000.
Wait, that's not the right number.
Is the donation line.
That's the donation line. I get confused.
888-318-7884 is the call-in line. But right now we've got full lines on the call-in line.
Yeah.
What we need is full lines on the donation line.
Amen to that, right.
We only have now an hour and a half today to talk about this. And in some places, you know, some stations only have us for an hour. And so we have only 30 minutes before we don't talk about fundraising anymore for the rest of the year.
Yep.
And so we need your donation. We need you to call in right now while we're able to talk about it, while you're thinking about it. The number is 888-291-8000. We have basically everybody in the building helping out right now so that you can get through quickly and make your donation safely and securely and get right back to listening to the program. And even if you miss a bit, it's okay, because you can always go back and watch it online, where it's archived on Facebook and on YouTube, and I'm not sure about on Periscope, but probably there too.
Yeah.
And you can listen to the podcast anytime, 24/7. And the reason you can do those things The reason you can watch it after the fact, either online or listen to it online, is because of people's generosity. We wouldn't be able to film it and broadcast it or record it and send it out by podcast and let people listen to it online if it wasn't for your generosity. So you're not only helping out with us today, you're helping people on into the future when you respond and make that generous sacrifice. And you can do that now by calling 888-291-8000. Once again, it's 888-291-8000. Or if you're one of those people who's listening later, at any time of day or night, you can go to our secure online server at CatholicAnswersRadio.com.
$20,000 dollar-for-dollar match yet again today. Every dollar that we are able to raise today will be matched up to $20,000. We'd like to do that whole $20,000. And your call gets us that much closer, 888-291-8000. I want to mention Teresa in Salem, Oregon. She donated $18 a month, which is every dollar of that is going to be doubled as well. And she's a special ed teacher. And she asked, she challenged other special ed teachers to donate what they can. God bless you if you're a special ed teacher. Even just a prayer for us would be because the prayers of the righteous are so valuable, and that's a pretty righteous undertaking, being a special ed teacher.
By the way, we have, for people who donate at certain levels, we have some gifts we want to give them. What can you tell us about that, Teresa?
Well, Teresa, you just donated that $18 a month, and at that level, $18 a month or more, that'll be $36 a month to us because it gets doubled. But we would love to send you The Case for Catholicism, Answers to Classic and Contemporary Protestant Objections, the brand new book from Trent Horn and Ignatius Press. And we'd also like to send you Through the Bible in a Year. Dr. Tim Gray's book. Tim Gray edited that book, Through the Bible in a Year. That's for any one-time donation of $200 or an $18 a month pledge, 888-291-8000 is the number.
Also, we have a 4-DVD video series by Jeff Cavins on Unlocking the Mystery of the Bible, which we want to send you if you're able to donate $500 or more. So you think about it on a monthly basis, it's not too much more. So if you're able to afford that $18 a month, you think about whether you could afford a little bit more than that and maybe do that $500 level, even if it's spread out over 12 months, because we'd love to send you not just the two books, but also the 4-DVD video set.
888-291-8000, CatholicAnswersRadio.com. Those are the places you can go to make your donation. If you do make that $500 donation, it's $1,000 to us because today we have a match, $20,000 match. Jimmy, let's say we didn't reach that $20,000, but we got $11,000 today in pledges.
Well, we'd have a corresponding proportion. Uh-huh. But we wouldn't get the full $20,000. In order to get the full $20,000, we need people to be generous and pledge $20,000. But it does have that doubling effect. So, for example, Barbara in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, donated $500 one time, and so that gets doubled to $1,000. And any gift that you make, whether it's $1 or $100 or $200 or $500 or $1,000, it'll get doubled because of the generosity of other donors who've put up that matching pledge.
Thank you very much for your consideration and for supporting us as we approach the end of the year here. We got to do our day job now. We go to Ryan in Midland, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Ryan, your question for Jimmy Akin.
All right. My question is, in 2007, when Benedict XVI issued his Summorum Pontificem Motu Proprio, what were his motives in doing so? Because I read earlier this year that John Paul II issued provisions in 1984 that allowed for the Tridentine Mass to be celebrated. Did Benedict's document supersede John Paul II's provisions, or did it reinforce it, so to speak?
Well, it superseded it in a legal sense in that it is the governing document at this point rather than the earlier provisions that John Paul II had made. So it was a revision and clarification of what the Church's regulations are regarding the celebration of the extraordinary form of Mass. And basically his motives were twofold. Now, he has a special letter in addition to the text of Summorum Pontificum itself, which is there for free on the Vatican website, so you can read it for yourself, there's also, again there on the Vatican website, a letter that he sent to the bishops of the world explaining his motives. And in a summary form, there were basically two. One of them is he wanted to reach out to certain Catholic traditionalists who have a special attachment to the extraordinary form of the Mass, some of whom were in a state of schism, and he wanted to reach out to them. He also wanted to fulfill the legitimate aspirations of traditionalists within the Church who wanted to have greater access to the extraordinary form of the liturgy. That's his first motive. His second motive is he felt that, you know, this, the extraordinary form of the liturgy had been the Church's most holy possession, its holiest possession, for 500 plus years. And it the attitude that some people were taking towards it, of suddenly it's something shameful or something we should look down on or not approve of, it just makes no sense. I mean, this was really, that's kind of a tribalistic attitude where people are dividing up into different tribes rather than recognizing the intrinsic value that this form of the liturgy has had for the Church for hundreds of years. And so he wanted to restore an awareness of its value and to let it cross-pollinate with the current liturgy, with the ordinary form of the liturgy, because, and he talks about this explicitly, that both of them have aspects where they could potentially benefit each other. One of the things that's frequently been commented about the extraordinary form is that it strikes a lot of people as having an additional sense of reverence frequently in the way it's celebrated, and that's something that potentially the various celebrations of the ordinary form can acquire. And similarly, the ordinary form has various things like a whole bunch of new saints that aren't on the extraordinary form calendar that could benefit the extraordinary form celebration of the liturgy as well. So the two can play a constructive role in their ongoing development, and people can recognize that and appreciate that. And that was his; those were his two basic motives, both wanting to do a form of outreach to traditionalists, and secondly, wanting to promote a recognition of its value and a kind of cross-pollination with the ordinary form of the liturgy.
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks very much for that call. We go now to Carl driving through Iowa, listening to Sirius XM satellite channel 100. A lot of people driving and calling today. Carl, your question for Jimmy Akin.
Yeah, Jimmy, I was wondering, when did the Catholic Church start using communion wafers instead of bread for the Eucharist?
Well, it doesn't entirely use wafers. That's something that's common in the Latin Rite, where by law the bread that's used for the consecration has to be unleavened, but it's not that way in all rites. So if you go to, for example, a Ruthenian Rite Catholic Church, they use leavened bread, and they actually they'll have a loaf. It's a kind of small flat loaf, but they'll have a loaf in the liturgical container that they use to hold it, and they also soak it in the precious blood, and then they administer communion with a little spoon that they'll kind of take a piece of the bread of the consecrated bread, the body of Christ soaked in the precious blood, and they'll use a little spoon to take a little scoop of that and administer communion to people. So that's an example of a practice that is used in the Catholic Church, but that doesn't use the wafers that we're familiar with in the Latin Rite. In terms of the overall development of it, I'd have to do some checking to see when we have the earliest references to wafers being used, but my guess is that it's always been a mixed tradition. Now, there on the night of the Last Supper, when the first Mass was celebrated, it would have been unleavened bread at that point, because it was during the days of unleavened bread. Jews were not allowed to have leaven in their houses during the Passover service, but it wouldn't necessarily have been a wafer. It may have been a larger, more pita-like piece of bread, but without leavening. After the Gentiles began to come in to the church, though, they were not subject to the Mosaic law. And so they, in all likelihood, many Gentile Christian communities would have been using leavened bread because it was the form of bread they ordinarily experienced. And hypothetically, that could have even been happening in Jewish Christian communities, just not on Passover. So my guess is that there's been a mixed tradition all the way down through history where both leavened bread that eventually took the form of wafers and unleavened bread that didn't – or I think I said that backwards – unleavened bread that eventually took the form of wafers and leavened bread that didn't have always been used in the Catholic Church but in different communities.
Carl, thank you very much. Drive safely through Iowa now. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We are coming down to the last hour and moments. Well, we are in the last hour and a few moments of our quarterly pledge drive, where we take just 3 days out of each quarter to come and ask you to support Catholic Answers, Catholic Answers Live. And even among those 3 days, we try to just make it less than half the time there, just a few minutes each hour to invite you to participate in to tell you the truth, to participate in what has been a revolution in Catholic media, of which I have only been a participant here at Catholic Answers for less than a year, but Catholic Answers has been at it via radio for about 20 years. And if you know about what's gone on in Catholic media, you know that involves a lot of foresight, because 20 years ago, I think there were three or four, maybe five Catholic radio stations out there.
Yeah. When we started, we were on three stations and then quickly a fourth added and so forth. I was there on that first show, by the way.
So that day you added a quarter of your...
Yeah, our listening audience grew by 25%, or would have been 33% actually.
Yeah, right. Let's do that again. But in order to do that, we would need to add about 125 stations now, because we're on more than 400 stations, probably more stations than any other Catholic radio program in the world. And that revolution is taking place because the Holy Spirit is moving on the hearts of Catholic laity, frankly. I mean, there's wonderful support that we get from bishops and priests and religious. But of course, the bulk of our funding and the bulk of the funding for all those radio signals and TV stations and all those kinds of things is coming from the laity who are taking up the call, especially, I think, the call as it was offered and made by Pope John Paul II to engage in a new evangelization, to become fired up again about sharing the good news. That's what we try to do every day. And that's why we feel really confident and comfortable and even joyful about coming to you to ask for your support, because we're asking you to participate in what we believe is, though we do it at a very human level here, of course, it is God's work, because God has called us to go out and make disciples of all the nations. Please help support us while we have this $20,000 dollar-for-dollar match on right now, 888-291-8000. 888-291-8000. This media revolution is not being funded by all of the Catholic laity, but by a small portion who are fired up. As we said before, per radio station that we are on, we average 12 supporters. So let's make it 13. 888-291-8000 is that number.
And some of those supporters include Steve in McKinney, Texas, who's made a $500 donation. Faye in Kentucky has made a $100 donation in honor of Robert Dahl, someone very special to her. Doors by Design in Daphne, Alabama has made a $120 donation. Ed in Boise, Idaho, $30. Chris in Columbus, $20 a month. Jackie in Wisconsin, $300. Nelson in Texas, $200. Ron and Doris in Bancroft, Nebraska, $250 one-time gift. Lena in Haslett, Texas, $50 one-time gift. Rebecca in Post Falls, Idaho, $20 gift. Terry in Louisiana, $500 gift. And an anonymous person in Carlisle, Iowa, is giving a $250 one-time gift, but also is already a monthly giver. So that's something to bear in mind. Even if you're already giving monthly, you can still make an additional donation. And if you make a $200 one-time donation, we'll give you the two books that Cy mentioned. And if you're able to make a $400 one-time donation, we'll give you the two books plus the four DVD video set by Jeff Caven. So thank you to all of those people for helping us out. We need to keep those phone lines busy. As we mentioned yesterday, especially during the first hour, it was kind of slow.
Yeah.
But we need to keep them busy because we need to make that final $20,000 matching challenge today. We will not get the full matching challenge unless you're able to help us out and we're able to make the equivalent amount from donors. It is a true matching challenge. So give us a call. The number is 888-291-8000. We have everybody in the building standing by right now, but we only have 14 more minutes left in this hour. So give us a call, 888-291-8000.
Once again, if you're able to pledge at the $18 a month level, if you can pledge $18 a month, that will be doubled. It'll be $36 a month to us. And we would be very, very happy to send you The Case for Catholicism, Answers to Classic and Contemporary Protestant Objections, a brand new book from Trent Horn and Ignatius Press. We'd also like to send you, edited by the great Dr. Tim Gray, a Bible scholar, The Bible in a Year. That's at the $18 a month level, 888-291-8000.
By the way, as we mentioned, you can also go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com if you want to make a donation there. If that's your preference, we have people to walk you through the donation process just orally. That's, we want to make it as easy as possible. But even if your preference is for online giving, that's great too. And as we've mentioned, you can use CatholicAnswersRadio.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even if you're not listening to this during a pledge drive, say you're listening to this months from now, but God moves your heart and you want to help keep the work of Catholic Answers going forward, that's great. You can make a donation at any time, even months from now. And what will happen if you do that is it'll simply count towards the next radio drive we do. And if you make a substantial donation, we'll give you the gifts that we'll be offering in the next radio drive. So thank you very much for your support, whether you're able to give it today or whether you're giving it to us at some point in the future.
We go back to the phones. John in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on Catholic.com, our website. You are on with Jimmy Akin. Your question, please, John.
Yeah, hi. My question is, in light of Jesus' message in the gospel to always pray for your intentions, he says it in John's chapter and in Matthew and all the gospels. I'm wondering, what is the point of prayer if God is ultimately going to do his own will? You know, in his, and I could be mistaken here, but in his, I guess, mightiness, you could say, mm-hmm. Is it possible to change the will of God?
It's not possible to change the will of God because God is outside of time, but that doesn't stop God from being able to respond to the prayers of people who are inside of time, because in his eternal perspective outside of time, God sees us praying, talking to him right now, no matter what time we live in. And he's able to respond to the requests that we make of him. Now, he's omniscient, and so he knows all things, including what the best things are. But one of the things he's determined as sort of best practices, you might say, is to incentivize us to ask him for things. If he never answered prayer, then we wouldn't have a reason to pray to him. And we could remain kind of closed in on ourselves, where we only think about ourselves and we don't think about God and we don't think about other people. We just think about ourselves. But by being willing to answer our prayers, to do something that he wouldn't necessarily have done if we hadn't prayed to him, God encourages us to get out of ourselves, to not just think about ourselves, but instead to think about him to whom we're praying, and to think about other people when we pray for friends or loved ones or even people we don't know. It's an act of love. And if you see to pray for someone, and it's an act of love to God to pray to him. And if you look at the two great commandments in Scripture, you know, you think about what they are. Well, one of them is love God with all your heart, and the other is love your neighbor as yourself. So by being willing to answer some of our prayers, he obviously doesn't say yes to all of them because some of them would be bad things for us, and he doesn't want bad things for us. But by being willing to answer some of our prayers and do things he wouldn't have done if we hadn't asked, he incentivizes us to reach out to him in love and to reach out to other people in love and to recognize our dependence on him as creatures. And we learn a whole host of spiritual lessons as a result of that.
Thank you very much, John, for that call. Let's see. By the way, if you're on the line, stay on the line. We're going to continue to do this for another hour, and with the same guest, Jimmy
and the
Akin.
Same host, too.
And the same. Well, we'll see how that goes. But the same host and guest will be here for Open Forum second hour. I'm happy to take your calls on any aspect of the life or faith of the Catholic Church. Let's take a quick call before we have to take a break. We go to Becky in Mobile, Alabama, listening on 1410 Archangel Radio. Becky, your question.
Hey, I don't know if this is culturally based or religiously based. When people have the greeting Namaste, mm-hmm. sounds joyful and happy, but I just recently heard that it means I see the divine in you. And if that's true, is that the right divine? Is that something that's kosher with what we believe in?
Words mean what people interpret them to mean, and there could be some people out there who interpret Namaste to mean I see the divine in you, but that's not what it means to most people. Namaste is a common greeting in Hindi, and so it's used a lot in India and Nepal and places like that. It functions as hello, and it doesn't literally mean I see the divine in you. In fact, if you look at its roots, namas means to bow, and te, because it's derived from Sanskrit, and so just like English and Greek and other Western languages are also derived from Sanskrit for the most part, or Indo-European, properly speaking, te is just a pronoun. It means you. Just like it does in several Western languages. So namaste, literally by its etymology, would mean bowing to you. And that's all it is. It's like, you know, if you're in Japan, people bow to each other as a greeting. In India, Nepal, people bow to each other as a greeting. And so it became an ordinary way of saying hello to say namaste. But the way a word is used rather than its etymology tells you what it means. And the way it's used is just to mean hello. So when I meet people who I know are Hindi speakers, either because they're from India or they're from Nepal or somewhere like that, I'll say namaste to them. Just like if I'm, in a Japanese restaurant talking to someone from Japan, if it's morning, I'll say Ohayo gozaimasu because it's just a common Japanese greeting. So there's no intrinsic problem with it. If someone is translating it as I see the divine in you, you know, well, we are all children of God and we all bear the image of God. So there's a sense in which even that's wholesome. But if they're meaning it in some weird sense, like I think you're literally God somehow, well, that's obviously wrong. But that's not what the word means to the vast majority of people who use it, either over in India or here in America.
Becky, thank you very, very much for that call. Arigato. And we are going to take a break in just a minute, but I want to ask you while we're on that break, maybe that would be the perfect time to give the support that you've been thinking about giving to Catholic Answers, if you have been thinking, or maybe it's time to start thinking about giving that support next hour. 888-291-8000 is the number to make your call, to make your pledge, and take advantage of the fact that every dollar is being matched dollar for dollar up to $20,000 yet again today. We're very, very grateful to the donor or donors who make that possible. 888-291-8000.
And since we're going into the break, we're going to have several minutes. You won't miss anything. Now you're thinking about it. Now we've got the people online on the phone line to take your call, and now you won't miss anything. So this is the ideal point. Give us a call, 888-291-8000, or go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com, 888-291-8000, and CatholicAnswersRadio.com. www.thecatholicchurch.com.
If you're on the line, stay on the line. If you're on the radio, stay by your radio, because we're coming right back right after this break. More Open Forum with our senior apologist, Jimmy Akin, right here on Catholic Answers Live.